In this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast, the best biohacks for longevity and the best biohacks for libido, the magic of sprinting and high-intensity interval training and how to do it the right way, the psychology of fighting, and much more.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. Voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power. Speed. Mobility. Balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now. On the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
Hey, Brock, we were kind of having a fun discussion before we even started recording about our first jobs and how much we enjoyed working for our parents.
Yeah, I think it started when I was suggesting that you could put your boys to work for you to get all the prep done for the podcast.
Yes, we were talking about how laborious it is to put together all these show notes.
Oh, man, you have to click a link and then click another link and then open a page.
Drop, drag.
But when I was a kid, man, I used to spend hours photocopying stuff for my dad at his office on the weekends, and I loved it.
You photocopied too?
Yep.
Me too. I remember. I'd smell like carbon. I had to photocopy so much.
I'm sure the acetone in the air that we breathed as children is responsible for all our ills now.
Oh, don't even get me started on how many unhealthy things I did when I was a kid. But the photocopying that I did was because my dad had an ambulance service, a non-emergency medical ambulance transportation service. So not only did I work for him doing medical billing, so I would spend 2 to 3 hours. I used to get up at 4 a.m. And this was how I learned how to type. This was how I learned like the medical industry. My dad used to drag me around all these medical conferences and health conferences and paramedic conferences. But I used to do all of our medical billing, which was probably illegal in the state of Idaho. But there was a little 12-year-old boy anyway sitting there at the computer doing all the medical billing, filling.
But it was the 80s.
Filling out all the reports and learning about, Mrs. Smith who got dragged to the hospital because she had some kind of a, pain in her left rib, and Mr. Smith who had a colonic explosion. And I would just learn all these interesting things about medicine.
Colonic explosion. Oh, dear.
Yeah. And the other thing that used to happen is, and perhaps this is why I'm so open to the idea of IVs and needles and injections, the EMTs there used to chase me around and use me as their guinea pig for injections and IV practices.
Were your arms and legs as vascular then as they are now?
Oh, I was such a vascular child. Were you? I was like a tiny, tiny little... Have you seen the mTOR knockout? I think he's a little German boy.
Oh, just like this ripped... No, he's a little Russian boy, isn't he?
Oh, is he? I don't know. Hey, Russian, German, same thing.
Little muscle kid.
They're all brute power lifters over there. So... Anyways, not that I'm stereotyping. Anyways, yeah, they have these mTOR knockout kids. I was like an mTOR knockout kid, except without the muscles, just the veins.
Just the veins. Scrawny with veins.
News flashes.
Well, Brock, it's actually been a while since we've done a Q&A.
Yeah, I actually forgot who you are. I forgot everything.
Yeah, for those of you listening in, this is actually fun because we, on the Q&A episodes, we go through the latest in fitness and nutrition and wellness and biohacking and longevity research, and then we answer listener questions. And so if you're new to the show and you actually want to call in a question, Brock, how do they do that?
They go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/askben or ask a podcast question. Now, there's a whole bunch of links all over the place. Just click on the Ask a Question link.
An incredibly long URL. Can't they just go to bengreenfieldfitness.com and click on something? Like a sidebar thing, and you leave a
there's
question.
There's a sidebar thing. There's a link in the top nav. It's all over.
Yeah.
You can find it if you're looking.
So all the news flashes that we're about to talk about, you can get them over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/386. Now, I'm a fan of morning fasted exercise, and there was this study in the Journal of Sports Medicine and Physical Fitness. Now, I don't actually do morning fasted high-intensity training unless I am traveling. Say I'm at a conference, and I know my tiny little window of time that I'm getting an exercise session in is right then in the morning. And if that's the case, then I'll do whatever, burpees in the hotel room or go down to the gym and do some sprints and do some weight training. But I typically tend to do easy, fasted workouts like, you know, walking in the sunshine and that type of thing. However, regardless.
What? Walking in the sunshine's a workout? Mm-hmm. Come on.
It's tough. I wear a backpack and a training mask and drag a giant infrared light behind me.
Sorry, I was being facetious because it's just one of those things that people are always like, just dismiss walking.
I know. And walking is so good. Walking is when I get a lot of my thinking done. I walk with a post-it note and a Sharpie in my pocket. I leave my phone at home because I don't want to be tempted by it. And all I do is just practice breath work and think. And that's how I walk. And then if something comes across my mind that I want to get off my mind, I write it on the post-it note and then take care of it when I get home. That's how I walk. Yeah. Anyways, this study actually looked at sprinting, like hard exercise sessions. And specifically, they were doing 30 seconds of all-out cycling, followed by 4 minutes of active recovery, which, by the way, based on the studies on mitochondrial density, that's one of the best ways to build mitochondrial density, is very short, hard sprints followed by very long recovery periods. So we're looking in this case at what, an 8-to-1 work to rest ratio, 30 seconds all out cycling followed by 4 minutes of active recovery. And they were doing this in a fasted state each morning.
To build mitochondrial density, you don't need to do it in fasted state. It's really just that timing protocol.
Right. Yeah. Just so happens to be that they use kind of like the classic mitochondrial training protocol in this study. And what they found was that even though those fasted folks, compared to the folks who did this fed and also got a carbohydrate drink after, the folks who fasted actually on the post-training follow-up exercise session in which they were supposed to exercise to complete exhaustion, and then they also tested their power production and their mechanical work. Their power production, the total amount of work that they were able to produce in terms of like their strength, went down. But their actual endurance exploded. And we actually, there's some other studies that have shown this, how when you train low, in a low carbohydrate state, or in this case, in a fasted state, for some reason, even though it doesn't seem to have much crossover for increasing your power or your strength or your all-out capacity, in terms of endurance, the time to exhaustion test in the folks who fasted versus the folks who had done all those training sessions in a fed state was over 3 minutes longer, which is a pretty long period of time. Should we just pause for like 3 minutes to kind of give people an idea?
Yeah, to give you a sense of how painfully long just 3 minutes is.
Just imagine. So it was at 85%. So imagine if you raced your friend and you said, I'm going to race you to whatever, the coffee shop down the road. And you get to the coffee shop and think about that. 3 full minutes before they arrive because you did your morning high-intensity interval training in a fasted state.
You could drink a cappuccino and finish a pain au chocolat in that time for sure.
Oh, yeah. Or I just got back from Sardinia and I got big time into blanket. What do you call it when you pour a shot of espresso over gelato?
Affogato?
Affogato,
yeah.
Affogato, yes. I got hooked on affogato.
That's why you say it like it's in Japanese.
Affogato. I'm actually going to speak in Japan in September.
Affogato.
Affogato. Anyways, by the way, affogato, I get this question a lot. Does that take you out of ketosis? Does that take you out of a fasted state? Yes, you're eating ice cream with sugar and cream in it. Yes.
Good Lord, people.
Anyways, though, so even though this might not be relevant to people who are trying to just go after power or strength, if you are a triathlete or a marathoner or maybe a Spartan athlete, you're doing anything that would require improved time to exhaustion at an exercise rate that isn't all out, but it's closer to like that 80 to 90% intensity, do some of these harder intervals in a fasted state because that's incredibly significant in terms of the time to exhaustion. So
sure is. Nice.
Yes. Exactly. Now, the reason that I don't, by the way, do high-intensity interval training in the morning much is because your body temperature peaks and your reaction time peaks and your grip strength peaks and your post-workout protein synthesis peaks and all this stuff peaks. Even your deep sleep is enhanced by a hard exercise session that finishes about 3 hours prior to bedtime, but that's done in the later afternoon or the early evening. So I, for those reasons, have tended in the past to just do my harder exercise sessions in the evening, unless, like mm-hmm. I mentioned, you know, the day is just going to be too packed to do that. But based on this study, I might start throwing in a, you know, couple of interval training sessions in the morning in a fasted state, just because I'm still competing in endurance sports.
I do a lot of mine first thing in the morning, but I don't, even though I know all that stuff that you just listed about all the benefits of doing it in the afternoon, I just plain won't get it done if I don't do it first thing in the morning. I'm just a morning workout guy, and the chances of me actually getting a decent workout in drops exponentially after like 10 a.m. So...
Yeah, well, you just need to...
I guess I'm getting lucky in this in this case.
You need to shut up the inner bitch and just do your afternoon workout. That's what it comes down to for me. Because by the end of the day, I don't want to work out. I've got decision-making fatigue. I'm tired. I've been on my feet at my standing desk all day. I want to finish up the day and, you know, just lounge. But once I start my workout and I get about 2 minutes in, I'm good to go. So, yeah, just do it, Brock. Come on, swallow the pill. Anyways, though,
I think I'm doing all right.
Here's another one for those of you who don't want the swallow pill of sprinting, but you want to do this high intensity interval training that we talked about. Like maybe you're injured, you don't like to run, you can't run, whatever. There was this recent study that looked into an alternative to running and found that this particular HIIT workout works just as well as sprinting for maximizing your cardiovascular endurance and also increasing your overall fitness. You know, they looked at a whole host of metabolic parameters in this study, including body composition and body fat. So they were looking at performance-related outcomes and body fat. And what they did was they created this exercise routine that you could easily do in like a freaking hotel room, right? Again, let's say you don't have the space to sprint. So they used classic Tabata sets in this protocol, which have been shown to be one of the best ways to improve not mitochondrial density, but muscular endurance, right? Your ability to be able to tolerate huge amounts of lactic acid. And that protocol is 8 efforts of 20 seconds hard, 10 seconds easy. So it's essentially like a 4 minute interval. And they did 3 of these sessions per week. Now, one group was doing these on the treadmill, right? 20 seconds of sprinting, 10 seconds of easy recovery, like walking or stepping off the treadmill and just standing there while the treadmill belt continues
heaving.
To go. Yeah, exactly. And then the other group did a combination of burpees, mountain climbers, squats and thrusts and jumping jacks at a maximum effort. So they were cycling through these 5 different exercises versus the group that was just sprinting.
It was squat thrusts with the 3 kilogram
dumbbell. Squat and thrust. So basically you do 20 seconds of burpees, 10 seconds of recovery, 20 seconds of mountain climbers, 10 seconds of recovery, 20 seconds of squats with the thrust to overhead, 10 seconds of recovery, and then 20 seconds of jumping jacks and 10 seconds of recovery. And you would go through 2 cycles of that versus the group that just did the sprinting. All right. So either way, both groups exercising for 8 minutes. And what they found was that the group that did this body weight style training, granted, they also included these thrusters with the overhead dumbbells, which you could do in a hotel room. I've freaking used backpacks, luggage, the coffee table in the hotel room, all sorts of things for overhead presses, or just travel with an elastic band, which is great for these squat to overhead presses, these thrusters, so to speak. They found that the performance-related outcome and the body composition between the two groups was pretty similar. The only thing that they did find was that the treadmill exercise resulted in better running performance, which comes as no surprise at all. Better running economy and better running performance. But ultimately, when it comes to just like losing weight and improving overall fitness, this whole body high intensity interval training, you know, the title of the study was whole body high intensity interval training induces similar cardiorespiratory adaptations compared with traditional high intensity interval training. And that was on the treadmill. They also threw in a group that just did moderate intensity continuous training, like just like 8 minutes of running on the treadmill or 4 minutes of running on the treadmill rather than doing the high intensity interval training. And ultimately, it turns out that if you've got limited space, sprinting is not the only thing that you can do.
So, yeah. I love this kind of stuff. Anything that shifts the paradigm, like the cultural paradigm, away from having to go for a run. Like when somebody says they want to do some high intensity or even just cardio, the first thing everybody always defaults to is going for a run. And it's like, no, there's so many more ways to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I love this kind of stuff.
I don't want to tell you the number of times where I've had a sore knee or a sore hip or a beat up back, and running really wasn't an option. But, you know, knowing I can just step into the gym and do, let's say, kettlebell swings, right? Non-impact to get the heart rate up. But there was a similar study done on kettlebell swings a couple of years ago. Same thing. You do a high-intensity interval training session with kettlebell swings, and it simulates the same cardiorespiratory and body composition changes as doing a sprint. So there you have it.
And you don't even have to go to a gym. Again, you can use a backpack or something like that.
I've got one more for you, though, on high-intensity interval training. So this is the way that I train. Yeah, this is the way I train when I travel. So a lot of times, you know, I mentioned decision-making fatigue at the end of the day, right? And sometimes that can make that hard workout at the end of the day tough. Same thing when you travel, right? You step off the plane, you check into the hotel, and dude, the last thing you want to do is go destroy yourself in the gym. It's just hard. You want to go down
to the bar and get the little bowl of nuts and order a beer.
Yeah, maybe. If you're Canadian, I guess. Like for me, sure. I want to like go for an easy swim or a walk in the sunshine and then go get my beer and my nuts. Sure. Anyways, though, so what this recent study looked at was high-intensity interval training combined with resistance training, what we call concurrent training. This is where you would go to the gym and you would do a weight training session that involved going back and forth between cardio, like high-intensity cardio, and weight training, which is exactly what I do when I travel. Meaning I've got this hotel gym workout, and I'm actually traveling tomorrow. I'm heading down to Tucson, Arizona, to be at the Mind Body Green Revitalize Conference, where my job is to be the morning sunrise hike leader. It's a tough gig, but somebody's got to do it. Anyways, though, I will go to the gym there. And the way that I do this, the way I set it up in the gym, and this study backs up that this is an incredibly effective way to train for muscular strength, for maintaining or building lean muscle mass, and also kind of having your cake and eating it too, because you get all the cardiovascular training adaptations. And I've trained.
Did you say cake?
Yes, cake. That's all you're going to hear during this entire study is cake.
I get to have cake.
Yes. Where does the cake come in? The high-intensity interval training mixed with muscular strength training that I do looks like this. You go to the gym and you choose an exercise for the for pushing and for pulling upper body, for pushing and for pulling lower body, and for the core. So, for example, I would choose chest press. I would choose a pull-up or a pull-down. I would do a squat, I would do a deadlift, and I would do, let's say, like a low back extension, right, for the core. And after each of those different exercises, I would do 2 minutes of cardio as hard as I can, right? And then I go back and I do it again. Sometimes I'll AMRAP as many rounds of that as possible as I can do for 30 to 60 minutes. So I'm going back and forth from strength to cardio to strength to cardio, and I can just kind of shut my brain off almost. You know, I'll still pay some attention to biomechanics and proper form, but it just allows me to kind of jam and get a workout in and maintain my metabolic fitness and still be able to build endurance and strength at the same time. So again, it's just five different whole body exercises, each one separated by about 2 minutes of high intensity interval training. And this recent study shows that you can, it was actually a meta-analysis of a whole bunch of different studies. And essentially,
I love those.
Yeah, the takeaway and what they say in here is that data suggests that concurrent high intensity interval training and resistance training doesn't negatively impact hypertrophy or upper body strength. They did find a slight negative effect on lower body strength. And I think the reason for that is that most of the time when you're doing cardio in between, and in this case, they actually looked at cycling and running, right? They're doing the cardio with their legs. So it's no surprise that maybe they sacrificed a little bit of lower body strength. And if you didn't want to sacrifice lower body strength, you could do your cardio as like, you know, something more upper body intensive, like maybe a Versa climber or a rowing machine or an upper body ergometer. And some of those still use your legs, but maybe a little bit less than running or cycling. And for me, I just kind of play musical machines. And I know that those of you who are like legit strength conditioning coaches are scoffing at this, but it just works. It works when you travel, you know, to go back and forth from strength to cardio. So there you have it. And science backs it up, says science.
Says science.
There you go. A couple other interesting things. And again, I'll link to all these at bengreenfieldfitness.com/386 if you want to take a deeper dive. But the first one is probably one of the best articles on the psychology of UFC and boxing and fighting that I've ever read. And there's a lot on there. They go into 9 fascinating fightings involving boxing and other combat sports. And even if you're not into combat sports and UFC and fighting, I think some of them are pretty interesting. For example, you see a lot of these folks, not only in the UFC, but in football, soccer, basketball. You know, the NBA finals are on right now. LeBron James, of course, is sporting a huge amount of facial hair. And we see a lot of these fighters growing thick beards as what they claim is a way to appear more intimidating and more masculine. Mm. But they actually did a study on 395 different UFC fighters, and they found that those with beards were just as vulnerable to being knocked out. So not only does the beard not offer any protection, but it turns out that there's really not much of an advantage to having a beard to fight, aside from the fact that you look like Conor McGregor. So...
yeah.
Interestingly.
Well, except that my beard grows in like ringlets, like in like little, what's that little red haired girl's name?
The actress girl, like from way back in the day. It's going to be on the tip of my tongue. Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple. My beard looks like Shirley Temple's head. So I actually get knocked out a lot faster. Nice. Generally.
I like that. My beard usually looks like pubic hair when I try to grow a beard. So I just don't. Mm. Yeah. I
know. So nobody wants to touch you.
Right. Then. Exactly. Other than people who like to stroke pubic hair. So anyways, we digress, though. Another thing that they found was that southpaws do indeed have an advantage. And this is something a lot of people are aware of, whether it's tennis and boxing especially. Left-handed people always kind of throw a loop to right-handed people who are used to fighting right-handed people, because the majority of the population is right-handed. And this is called the fighting hypothesis. And this is that even if you go to prisons, you'll find a disproportionately large number of left-handed people or southpaws. And the reason for that is that southpaws and left-handed people have traditionally been better at fighting. They would have been better warriors. They would have been a little bit more hardwired to be violent and aggressive, because they tend to win when placed in an environment where they have to be a warrior or a fighter. And this analysis of 2,500 different boxers' records from 1924 all the way up to 2012 found that southpaws, hands down, pun intended, have a better win-to-lose ratio. And we've seen the same thing in tennis as well. Ultimately, it's very interesting. If you are left-handed, not only do you have more violent tendencies, but you're also more likely to win. Just stay out of prison. I've got one left-handed boy and one right-handed boy. And so they play a lot of tennis as a doubles team. And it's perfect because they can cover the entire court. So there you have it. And that's what I'm going to retire on, is my boys winning Wimbledon. That's pretty much.
You're right-handed, right?
I'm right-handed, yeah. Yeah. I'm right-handed.
I'm a lefty. I'm a southpaw.
My dad is ambidextrous. Yeah.
I think most of us lefties are a little bit ambidextrous. Mm-hmm. I can actually play tennis with both hands.
Oh.
I can use the mouse with both hands.
It's interesting.
One of those things. I think because the world is sort of right-handed and I'm left-handed, it makes you have to be both a little bit.
Yeah. But I've tried to teach myself how to be left-handed by brushing my teeth with my left hand. It hasn't worked yet. It's actually pretty awkward.
Well,
yeah.
Keep it up.
Yeah. I'm a little bit spastic with the teeth brushing on the left side. I'm just saying. That's not a
as long as you don't like jam it into your nose or something, you're okay.
Yeah. So the last one that I thought was really good takeaway, was they did brainwave studies of boxers and also fencers. Hmm. And they found that they responded to go and stop commands better. They had better what they call preparatory brain activity. They had faster response times. And they also did a study on young and old martial artists. And anyone who did judo or karate, they were faster and they showed less age-related cognitive decline. Now, of course, there is the flip side in that you risk getting hit in the head and hit in the face. And so you put your brain in a potentially disadvantageous position as well. However, do you know what my happy medium is for this?
I don't know. I can't even guess.
I play tennis and I play ping pong. Now, some of the smartest, fastest athletes in the world, if you ever look at table tennis videos on YouTube, are table tennis players. But in addition to that, I consider tennis to be very much like boxing, because I've boxed as well. And I get the same kind of cognitive load when I play tennis, especially at a fast pace, as I do when I spar or I box. And the idea is that you're essentially boxing over a net without getting hit in the face. That's what I claim tennis to be.
I can see that for the ping pong because it's in close proximity and you have to react so much quicker. But tennis, I mean, sure, if the ball's going like really fast, which it often does with higher caliber players, you've still got some distance to judge what you're going to do next. I guess the combination of the two would really be ideal.
Now, remember, I was a collegiate tennis player, so I played at a pretty high level, like the level where when the person is serving to you, you're watching the person. Like in baseball pitching, professional baseball pitching, you're not even watching the ball. You're watching the person because the ball's going to get there too fast for you to track it. So I'm talking about playing at a pretty high level. But when I play fast competitive tennis, same thing. Like your brain is working overtime. Plus, rather than getting hit in the face and bleeding out the nose, you get to wear all white and eat strawberries and cream afterwards at the club. So there's that.
Did you ever fence? Have you ever fenced?
You know, my uncle was the fencing instructor at University of Idaho. So yes, he used to dress me up in fencing gear and try and teach me how to fence.
I love fencing. Yeah. I haven't done it in like 20 years, but I used to do a lot of it in college. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's another place where being ambidextrous comes in really handy.
Yeah.
I could do that whole Princess Bride thing where I throw the foil into the other hand.
It's like the...
I'm not left-handed.
It's like the old Looney Tunes show with Daffy Duck. Remember that one?
Perry, thrust, Perry, thrust, thrust, Perry, 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 thrust.
Toe, ha, guard, turn, Perry, dodge, spin, ha, thrust.
Okay, so I've got one more study because we are going to talk about sex and libido and buttholes and all sorts of good stuff on today's episode. So this is eventually going to turn into an earmuffs episode, potentially, for the children, unless you are okay with your children being cool with enemas and libido, which let them listen. They're going to learn this stuff anyways. They might as well learn it from me and Brock. Anyways, though, I'm pretty sure this latest study means you should have sex to fight obesity because it's a study on oxytocin. And
hugging hormone.
Yes, the hugging hormone, the hormone that gets released when you have sex or when you touch other people. What they found in this study was that the administration of oxytocin could potentially be what they call a therapeutic peptide for obesity and for diabetes due to the improvement in insulin resistance and the improvement in glucose tolerance. So I'm pretty sure that the takeaway is you need to have sex to decrease your risk for obesity. There you have it.
Yeah, what other conclusion can you come to?
Well, there are actual ways that you can increase your oxytocin naturally. Do you want to know some of them?
Naturally, injecting it. Right?
Having sex and orgasm obviously causes a big burst in oxytocin. That's probably one of the biggest ones. And they found this to especially be the case in multi-orgasmic women, which I thought most women were. But I'm just saying
that only when they're with you.
I guess so. Nipple stimulation, cuddling and touching, and even falling in love. Vagus stimulation, vagus nerve stimulation. So this would be like cold showers, chanting, singing, meditation, etc. Music, eating can increase oxytocin, which may fly in the face of this whole high oxytocin. Probably if you're trying to get oxytocin into your system to lose weight, eating would not be the best of the choices that I'm presenting to you. Warm showers increase oxytocin. That's why you feel so good when you take like a nice warm shower in the morning. By the way, I learned that badass big wave surfer, Laird Hamilton, the last time I was hanging out with him, he told me that that's his morning routine, is he does a really long warm shower every morning. Which sounds fantastic. I do that about once a week. I used to not take a warm shower ever and pride myself upon never turning the water to warm and always taking a cold shower. And now I treat myself with a warm shower once a week. It's amazing.
You decadent fool, you.
I know.
You really know how to party.
Massage increases oxytocin, which is great. That's a wonderful way to increase oxytocin. A few other things. Melatonin, so getting good sleep, can make you more sensitive to oxytocin. And then here's a good one, MDMA. MDMA, the drug ecstasy, can increase oxytocin. So in other words, if we want to continue down this road of flawless logic, the best way to combat obesity and diabetes and improve glucose tolerance and insulin resistance would be to rave with ecstasy and then follow that up with a little bit of sex, some soothing music, a massage, and perhaps a little bit of dark chocolate. So there you have it. That's going to be the next big weight loss book.
Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You gotta check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. They'll give you 20% off your first order. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. I get laughed at, maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever, but I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LeelaQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off.
Listener Q&A.
Hi, guys. My name is Ian, and I'm wondering where would be a good place to start when I wish to start purchasing some devices for biohacking and longevity. I only have a few thousand dollars kicking around right now that I want to invest into some of these devices, so if you could point me in the direction of the best place to start, I would really appreciate it. Also, keep up the good work. The products from your store, the podcast, all of it is pretty awesome. I'm really looking forward to getting some of your coffee. Thank you.
I love this question.
I figured you would.
Happen to have a few biohacks. Unfortunately, Ian only has a few thousand dollars kicking around.
I know that's
he's been on biohacks.
When I was listening to his question, I was waiting for the penny to drop where he says, like, I only have $50. And I'd be like, ah,
oh. Yeah.
But a few thousand, so, we can work with that.
We could work with that if you got a few thousand dollars kicking around. So what I'm going to do, it's kind of funny because I mentioned how I'm going to be speaking at the Ancestral Health Symposium in Bozeman in July. And one of the things I'm talking about is this whole concept of biohacking versus like less expensive alternatives to some of these expensive biohacks. I have some ideas for Ian that are kind of similar to some of the things I want to talk about in that presentation, but that are different, meaning like in the presentation, I'll be talking about how you could, for example, you know, use a cryotherapy chamber or, you know, and then I'll give a bunch of alternative methods to that, like cold showers, etc. What I'm going to do for Ian is I'm going to present you with like some really expensive biohacks for Ian and everybody else listening, and specifically for longevity, and then also biohacks that would be less expensive than that, but still considered to be a biohack, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm with you.
All right, cool. So the first one would be, and some of these are conducive to not just longevity, but also fitness. So electrical muscle stimulation. Electrical muscle stimulation is something that has a lot of good research behind it for improving power, improving strength, recruiting new muscles that you might otherwise not have recruited, and even maintaining fitness when you are injured or when you're unable to train the way that you would normally train. The Cadillac of electrostim units that sits in the office, in my office right here behind me, and I use this about once per week. It's called a newbie, NEUBIE, and that stands for neuro bioelectric stimulator. Now, it is based on a
how does that stand for that? That doesn't make any sense.
Neuro, NU, bio electric stimulator, and EI. That's what they decided to call it. I was not responsible for their marketing.
So, this is not your fault.
Yes, this is not my fault. Anyway, it provides a DC current, and it matches the signals that the nervous system already sends on its own. Now, just about any other electrical stimulation device out there uses AC. So an alternating current is cheaper and easier to engineer, but a DC current can literally simulate hundreds of pounds of, let's say, a squat or a deadlift or anything else. I mean, you use this thing, and I'll admit, you get a little sore after you use it. Like, my delayed onset muscle soreness lasts like 4 or 5 days after I do a full body workout with this thing. Ooh. But in my opinion, as far as a biohack for EMS, electrical muscle stimulation, nothing comes close. By the way, Ian, I'll include as many links and discount codes and all that jazz as I can over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/386 if you want to hunt down some of this stuff, because I can usually get insider discounts on just about anything. But that one's called the newbie. So that's an electrical muscle stimulation device that really moves the dial for strength and training. It takes a lot of grit. You got to breathe your way through it. You know, I'll put it on my abs for 10 minutes and feel like I did 1,000 crunches the next day. It's pretty amazing. but an alternative to that would be either the Compex, which is a little bit less expensive, or the Mark Pro. Now, the Compex is an electrical muscle stimulation device that you can also use for strength and power and endurance. And then the Mark Pro uses what's called a square waveform to actually grab muscle fibers in a more therapeutic manner. And this would be something that you'd have on hand, say, for recovery, right? And so you'd use it on areas of soreness, or you'd use it on an injury. I'll slap the electrodes sometimes, then cover them with ice, and also a little bit of a, like an anti-inflammatory cream like magnesium or CBD. This is a technique I learned from a guy, a physician who worked with Tour de France cyclists to get them to heal up faster after their brutal day-long stages. And so,
are those guys allowed to use CBD?
Well, I don't know if they use CBD per se, but like any anti-inflammatory, right? Like a topical magnesium or an arnica or something like that, right? And then you put the electrodes on top of that, then you cover that with ice. So ultimately, get the newbie, or as an alternative, the Compex or the Mark Pro.
Now, the next one would be vibration. In my living room, I have this vibration platform called a power plate, And you can use it for isometric sets. You can use it in the same way that you would use like a rebounder or a mini trampoline to get lymph fluid moving in the morning. You can use it to prime muscle groups.
Not just lymph fluid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, it's great for inducing a bowel movement as well. I mean, mm-hmm. have a cup of coffee and go stand on a vibration platform for 10 minutes and you'll be ready to go. Slip into the restroom and not have to poo the rest of Voila. The day. Everything comes out. Voila. Just falls out. Exactly. Just like a baby. No pushing required at all, because I'm pretty sure that's how that happens.
That's how babies are born. Just
fall
it's
out.
Just swoosh. Yeah,
barefoot in the kitchen and just kind of drops out of you. But anyways.
Swoosh.
Power plate. They make this Kerplash. Vibration platform that is like the Cadillac of vibration platforms. That's the one that I have. It just sits in my living room. My kids use it too. They love it. They do little squats and push-ups on it or just stand there and laugh. You can even lay on it and give yourself a massage for any muscle group that you put on it. So pretty versatile. I like that. An alternative would, of course, be far less expensive, and that would be just to get a mini trampoline, like one of these rebounder mini trampolines where you still get a lot of the lymph fluid. You could still use it for like a morning bowel movement. You could still use it to warm up for a workout in a similar way as you'd use a vibration platform. But that would be another one, be a vibration platform. The next would be some kind of way that you can induce hypoxia. Now, I have this device called a Live O2. And what that does...
You have one of those?
Yeah, it's behind me.
Lucky.
My bicycle is set up next to it, and it draws all the air out of the room, concentrates the oxygen, and then with the flip of a switch, while you're exercising, or even just while you're passively sitting by it, reading or whatever, you can flip from hyperoxia to hypoxia. And a single 15 to 30 minute training session on this thing simulates about 24 hours spent in a hyperbaric oxygen therapy chamber, which is extremely expensive. We're talking about like $40,000 plus for one of those. Now, this Live O2 unit is still somewhat expensive. It's several thousand dollars. But an alternative to that would be to induce hyperoxia followed by hypoxia. So you get that same vasodilation, vasoconstriction effect, one of these training masks, right? And so what I'll do now, after having experienced the Live O2, I never thought about doing this until I'd done the flip of a switch on for high oxygen and the flip of a switch off for low oxygen with the Live O2. If I don't have access to it, say I'm traveling, I'll have one of these training masks, and you can do, for example, 30 seconds of hard sprinting on a bike and with the mask on, and then you pull the mask off your face a little bit and you do a 30 second recovery while you get more oxygen. Then you pull the mask back on, you do your sprint, pull it off, do the recovery, and you can simulate kind of a similar effect of that high oxygen, low oxygen type of environment. The training mask is maybe, I think, $70 to $80, but that would be like the alternative. I don't want to say the poor man's alternative, because you don't see a lot of poor homeless people walking around with training masks on. They got better things to do. But ultimately, long line at the soup kitchen, folks wearing training masks is not something
they'd look bad.
Common sight would be pretty cool.
Look like Batman villains.
Exactly. Anyways, though, the Live O2 and the alternative to that would be the training mask. Now, the next would be a cold pool. And, I have one of these. I bought a pool from Aqua Fitness, and it's like an endless pool, right? I can swim against it. I keep the water very cold, so I can use it for fitness, water running, swimming, whatever. Obviously, it's a little bit expensive to get a 19-foot, above ground endless pool. Now, I will put a link to an article that I released a few weeks ago in which my friend Luke Story wrote about how he just purchases an inexpensive freezer. And then fills that with a little bit of food-grade hydrogen peroxide and keeps it plugged in, puts ice in it, and essentially just has like a freezer that he uses as one of these cold tubs. And if you go to some of these websites that sell done-for-you cold tubs, I think coldtubs.com is one, and I'll link to the article where I have a whole host of different cold tub options. It's maybe, $300, $400 to get your hands on a freezer large enough for a human body to fit into, preferably a live human body. And you fill it up with ice and water. And I've got the full instructions written out that I'll link to in the show notes if you just go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/386. But I believe he just went to Sears and bought this thing. And so that's another alternative that would just be a few $100 to do something like that versus the full-on, endless pool setup. So
our friend Brad Kearns also has one. Yes. Of those. He's got that same setup in his backyard, yep. And he just loves it, swears
exactly.
by it.
Exactly. So more than one way to skin the cold pool cat, so to speak.
Yeah, you can't really swim in it, but you can soak in
right,
it really nicely.
Exactly. So the next one would be this concept of using photobiomodulation, which is just my fancy way of saying shining light on sheep. basically, the idea is that you can get these lights. For example, many of you have heard me talk about this company Juve, in which you purchase this light that causes formation of new capillaries and elevated production of collagen, the production of ATP. When you use it on your gonads, you can get increased testosterone production. And what these lights do is they produce near infrared and far infrared light in a specific safe wavelength that induces a lot of these scientifically proven benefits. We even see enhanced muscle recovery in some studies, speeding up wound healing, helping with infertility in men, because when you shine it on your testes, you get increased activity of the Leydig cells in the testes and increased sperm production. So there's a lot of benefits to having these lights. And I have two in my office, one in front of me and one behind me. And I'll often, you know, take off my shirt and shine it on my upper body. Sometimes I will pull down my pants and I'll have it shining on in my gonads. I don't know why I'm using that word versus just my
nuts.
Junk. Yeah, exactly. But the idea is that it's simulating a lot of the same wavelengths of light that we could get from sun. And so the other thing that you can get is this thing called a violight. And that's based on the concept not of full body photobiomodulation like these Juve lights, but it's head photobiomodulation. They make one that's called an alpha, which is what I own, and it creates a 40 hertz, or I'm sorry, the alpha creates a 10 hertz pulse, and it brings you into this alpha brainwave zone. And what that does is it activates the default mode network to make you a little bit more logical, more analytical, allows you to process information more quickly. As a complete aside, you know, microdosing with psilocybin or LSD or any of these type of compounds, or even going on a trip dose of psilocybin or LSD or DMT, that completely deactivates the default mode network. And you get, you know, enhanced left-right brain hemisphere activity, better creativity, disillusion of your ego, et cetera. This kind of does the opposite, right? It actually enhances your default mode network. So you're more logical, more analytical. You know, your ego explodes when you wear this thing. Plus, it looks like a giant space helmet and it has a little probe that goes in your nose. Anyways, though, so they sell one that's designed for 40 hertz, which is the one that's been shown to clear protein deposits in the brain. So this would be like the model you'd use if you were concerned about your risk for Alzheimer's or dementia, or that were something that was prevalent in your family history. The alpha is the one that I use, and I'll use that for focus. I'll use it to increase nitric oxide production. It actually works on what's called the cytochrome P450 pathway in mitochondria in your brain, and so you get increased neural cell activity. And those are two forms of photobiomodulation, the violight and also the Juve light. But of course, there's also the idea that you can simply use sunlight and you know, save yourself a whole bunch of money on a Juve and a violight and just build a giant fence around your yard and sunbathe nude. And I hope your neighbor doesn't have a drone or a very high-storied window. But
or
no.
Hope they do.
Yeah,
maybe.
I hope they do. Hey, neighbor. Anyways, though, the idea is that sunlight can produce a lot of these same effects, especially if you expose a lot of skin to sunlight. I'm totally not kidding. You actually can. And we see studies that go back as far as the 1940s showing that men who expose their genitalia to sunlight do see increased testosterone production. So getting out in the sun can be, you know, obviously a free or relatively cheap alternative to the use of photobiomodulation, but it's not as targeted. It's not a direct near and far infrared exposure. It's not as close to your skin, et cetera. So you don't see all of the benefits, but you do see many of the benefits by simply getting out in the sun. If you can do that regularly, you could save some money on these near and far infrared devices and spend your multi-$1,000 pile of cash that you have socked away for biohacks on something else. So, okay, so next is the concept of infrared saunas, which, you know, for example, I did that just this morning. So I spend about 30 to 40 minutes in the infrared sauna, anywhere from 3 to 4 times per week. I use it quite a bit. It's what I do for detoxification, for increased red blood cell production. We see an increase in heat shock protein, which improves your resilience to stress, specifically cellular stress. There's a lot of benefits to these infrared saunas, but they can be expensive, right? If you get one of these full, you know, like I have the one called the Clear Light Sanctuary, which is big enough for four people, or for one person to do yoga and lift dumbbells and do elastic band exercises. Like this morning, I actually had these KAATSU, these blood flow restriction devices on my arms and my legs, and I was doing a push-up and squat workout in the sauna. So I was doing like heat training and blood flow restriction training at the same time, which sounds like a funny video that our friend JP Sears might produce about
absolutely
stupid things that make them look silly. But we're already far down that road. So the alternative would be, and I have a whole video on this that I'll link to in the show notes if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/386. And it is the idea that you get a biomat, which is about 1/5 to 1/6 of the price of a clear light sauna. So it's like a mat that produces infrared and heat. And you can actually just get these Mylar blankets, like the space age silvery blankets, and you can wrap those around your body, get into the biomat, and you can work up an amazing sweat, like a whole detoxification sweat. Granted, you're just kind of laying there staring off into space bored or maybe reading a book or listening to this podcast. But ultimately, the biomat with a sauna suit or with a bunch of these Mylar blankets can give you a less expensive version of like a full body sauna. And so that'd be another way that you could go when it comes to the sauna.
And also smaller, because one of the biggest problems with those infrared saunas is I don't have room in my house.
Yeah.
I'd have to give up the kitchen.
Right. You've got a very, very small footprint. Okay, I've got a few others for you that are pretty interesting. One would be I sleep on this device called a chili pad. Now, a chili pad is basically circulating cool water or hot water, depending on what I choose, underneath the mattress or underneath the cover sheet while I'm sleeping. I forget what the cover sheet is. It's the one that's a pain in the ass that I could never get on, that you drag from one corner of the bed to the other. And it falls off and you start over again, you know, when you're trying to make your bed. You know this sheet?
the fitted sheets.
So annoying. Yeah. Anyways, though, so it goes underneath the fitted sheet and my wife can set her temperature, which she never does because she doesn't really care. So she doesn't even ever use it. But on my side, I've got that remote going every night. I set it at 55 degrees and I sleep like a baby in this cold, cold environment, which has been shown, by the way, in research to improve the percentage of deep sleep that you get. Now, let's say you are traveling or let's say you can't afford one of these chili pads underneath your mattress. Well, they also make cool mist humidifiers, I learned this trick from Tim Ferriss, who would travel with it to allow him to breathe humidified air, to rehumidify the sinuses and stuff after travel and to keep the area right around his bed in a hotel room a little bit more cool. And I bought one of these, and it does indeed achieve that. Like, I'll be traveling to Tallinn, Estonia, with a little cool mist humidifier in my bag because we're staying in a little Airbnb over there that doesn't have AC, and it's the middle of the summer. I'm not going to bring my chili pad. So this cool mist humidifier, just fill it with a little water, you set it next to the bed, and it kind of generates a little bit of cold air around your body while you're asleep. And so that would be kind of like a less expensive, less bulky alternative to something like a chili pad. So,
You could also just use a chili dog.
Yes, you can. You can.
Which are quite delicious.
Yeah. Preferably if the sausage is filled with Cheese Whiz, that's the best version. That used to be my favorite way to do a chili dog, was I'd make a chili dog with the bun and the chili and the beans and everything. But then for your sausage, you use the one that's filled with Cheese Whiz, like the cheddar filled. Yeah,
you do know how to party.
Dude, I know all the party tricks. Trust me. I grew up on these things. Okay, the next one would be pulsed electromagnetic field therapy, or what is known as PEMF. Now, this has been studied for everything from reducing cellular inflammation to improving healing of bone fractures and stress fractures to decreasing symptoms of TBI and concussion, healing neural tissue more quickly. Enhancing sleep when placed in like more of a delta wave mode. It gives you a lot of the benefits of like grounding or earthing, but it's almost like a more targeted delivery of that. And what I own is this giant unit, not to overuse this phrase, but it's like the Cadillac of PEMF units. You know, it's got coils.
How about it's
the Tesla. It's got coils. It's got pads, it's got rings, it's got a giant table. When I have a massage once a week, I'll literally lay on this and the massage therapist will work on me while I'm blasting my body with PEMF. It is probably one of the most potent healing tools I own because any injury, you can simply blast with that thing and it almost melts away. It's pretty crazy. And you can also just lay on it, you know, before you go to bed. You can use it, you can take a supplement and then place the, like the head pad next to your head, and you can feel like a nootropic or a brain enhancing supplement hitting you more quickly. It's got all sorts of extremely cool benefits, but it's expensive. You know, we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars to own one of these Pulse Centers units. Although you can rent them, you can go to facilities that allow you to try them out. I'll put a link in the show notes to their website where you can just go hunt one down in your area, just go lay on it and try it out for free, just like visiting the mattress store.
It's surprising too. Like, I've used some of the small ones, like the Earth Pulse and things like that, and you don't feel it. Like, there's nothing. You just sort of just
sometimes
doing something.
Sometimes you feel a slight
those pulse center ones.
Yeah, I mean, this is like chong 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 chong.
Yeah, like you actually your whole body, if you turn it up, your whole body like pulses with it. It's quite surprising.
Yeah, I had one of their trainers, Emilio, to my house a few weeks ago to train me on it. And I mean, you can activate the thyroid gland and the gonads. You can use it the same way as you use like that Gainswave sexual performance enhancement. You can use it for that. You can use it to enhance stem cell production if you place the pads on the long bones of the femurs where you produce a lot of the marrow. All sorts of benefits from it. But again, expensive.
I used it to erase my iPhone.
Yes, you could use any metal object or digital device that you place near it gets its battery drained extremely quickly, so you got to be careful with that. Anyways, though, there is a device that's relatively versatile that I travel with that can produce a 3 hertz, a 10 hertz, 100 hertz, or a 1,000 hertz signal. So it could be used for sleep, for focus, for injuries, etc. Not quite as potent or as powerful, but I've especially found for this device, when I place it in 3 hertz mode and kind of put it on the back of my head near my occipital bone, and Dr. Mercola taught me this trick. It really helps you go to sleep or fall back asleep when you wake up. And again, can be used on injuries as well. And this one's called the Flex Pulse. I did an interview with the guy who designed it, Dr. William Pollock, several months ago. But it's called the Flex Pulse.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it's very similar to like the Earth Pulse, which I've also talked about. But it's almost more portable, smaller, a little bit more user-friendly. And that would be like an alternative, more of a budget alternative to something like this Pulse Center's device. So that would be another one. I'll go over two more. One would be molecular hydrogens. Now, drinking hydrogen-rich water has been shown to reduce oxidative stress, to improve what's called redox homeostasis, which increases your levels of glutathione and superoxide dismutase and a lot of these endogenous antioxidants without, by the way, blunting the hormetic response to exercise, which means that unlike many other antioxidants that you could take, like vitamin C or vitamin E, that would shut down the normal satellite cell response to exercise, this doesn't do it. So you can shut down inflammation post-exercise and fight oxidation without necessarily blunting the hormetic response to exercise with the use of this molecular hydrogen. A ton of research, especially out of Japan, on this stuff. It can have an anti-inflammatory effect, anti-allergy effect. My wife drinks a glass if she has a headache and it goes away. It has anti-apoptotic protective effects, meaning that it can basically simulate in many cases or enhance the effects of fasting and cellular autophagy. I did a very thorough podcast about molecular hydrogen with a guy who is honestly, he's unbiased. He doesn't sell the stuff, but he has a lot of research on it, specifically in Japan, Tyler LeBaron. So I later actually got a unit made by this company called Trusi, Trusii. And it is a molecular hydrogen water generating unit that now sits in my living room that myself or my kids or my wife can go get a glass from anytime during the day. It just generates this icy cold molecular hydrogen rich water. The only thing about it is you need to drink the glass of water right after you pour it, because the hydrogen gases will tend to diffuse off the top of the surface of the water after you pour it. But it's an amazing form of water, very similar to like structured water, for example. And the alternative to that would be this same company, Trusi. They make tablets that you can simply drop into a glass of water. And so if you wanted to see how you feel on molecular hydrogen, or you wanted a more budget alternative to one of these, you know, one of these molecular hydrogen rich water generators is pretty expensive. I think it's around $6,000 to $7,000. You could just use these tablets. You know, I do consulting for the Miami Heat, for example, and I've got them all using what we've added to their training facilities, molecular rich hydrogen water generators in their training room, but then they travel with these TruSeat tablets, for example, to assist them with their performance, with their recovery, et cetera. So it's a very, very cool form of water. Not a lot of people are talking about it right now. It's kind of like fashion, right? It hits Japan first, and then it comes to us. At least that's what I've heard.
Yeah, it's been in Japan for a while.
Yeah, so
we're really slow in North America on this
slow
one.
On the uptake, baby. But anyways, it's good stuff. By the way, I'm going to speak in Japan in September. I briefly mentioned that earlier.
Oh, where?
Tokyo. And once I've got the exact location nailed down and everything, I'll let you guys know. But I will be in Japan in September. So there you have it. And then the last one that I was going to mention was this idea of repairing DNA and enhancing your own production of reactive oxygen species for healing. So some reactive oxygen species produce signals that can be damaging to the cell. Some produce more healthy signals and would be used for repair and recovery. And there's this device called the Nano-V, the Nano-V. And I have one right here on my right side next to my desk, and it allows you to breathe air that has been infused with this same frequency that reactive oxygen species, the good reactive oxygen species in your body would contain. And the idea is that it would repair cell damage and it would repair DNA damage. And I'll put a link in the show notes to a podcast that I did with these folks on the Nano-V technology. But if you wanted something that would still be like air that you breathe that is good for you, that would still induce a little bit of a longevity effect. You know, one of my favorite tricks is just do an essential oil air diffuser and put a little bit of rosemary in there, like rosemary essential oil, which is fantastic for cognition. Mm-hmm. But rosemary itself, you know, rosmarinic acid can have a pretty good effect on DNA repair, on sirtuin production, on stem cell production. There's a lot of interesting studies on rosmarinic acid. There's even that island in Italy. No, it's not an island. It's a town. It's a little village that has a specific form of rosemary that's like 10 times more powerful than any other form of rosemary. And they attribute a great deal of these folks' longevity to the fact that they consume a lot of this rosemary in their beverages and in their teas and on their meats, et cetera. So it's rosmarinic acid. You can get rosemary essential oil and you can just diffuse it and still have something, you know, that you're breathing while you're working during the day that's assisting your body and making it better. So those would be some of the biggies as far as biohacks you could have hanging around the house. Now, I realize it's a lot of stuff. I'll try and be as thorough as possible and put links to both the main biohacks as well as some of the less expensive alternatives in the show notes over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/386. But I believe we have sufficiently emptied Ian's wallet with our reply to this question, Brock.
I would say so.
Ben, my question is about all the experimenting you've done on your penis. I've not been sexually active for maybe 6 years or so. I'm getting married here in a few months and interested in possibly doing one of those experiments you've done to have better sexual performance. So I know all three of those are costly. I thought maybe you had a suggestion as far as which one gives you the best bang for your buck, no pun intended. So, I guess which one maybe not only worked, because it sounds like all of them work, but maybe which one lasts the longest or which one you thought was the best. And like you, I don't think I have any problems, but heightened performance is always a good thing. So would love your input. Thanks so much.
Now, Joshua, before we proceed, please use caution. You don't want to get married to this new girl and have her walk in on you, you know, doing your penis weightlifting with your penis magnets and your penis light and maybe your little penis sound wave generator. You want to be careful. You want to kind of ease her into the idea that she's just married a man who is obsessed with biohacking his penis. I would ease yourself into this.
Don't send the wrong message.
Yeah, I've been married for 14 years myself, and it wasn't until about 12 years in that I began biohacking my penis. You know, I had to wait about a dozen years for my wife to feel...
Well, openly biohacking.
No, I just didn't really do any biohacking at all. You know what I did use, though, was for a while I used that private gym. They sponsored the podcast for a little while. And so the private gym really was this little magnet that you attach to your dick and then you do weightlifting with it. You get an erection and it's similar to the old school wet towel technique where you do weightlifting with an erection with an increasingly larger wet towel. towel, starting with just a dry small washcloth or a napkin, and then eventually progressing to a giant bath towel soaked in water.
A duvet.
Yes,
soaked.
It's very similar to our friend who's been on this podcast before, who does vaginal weightlifting with like kettlebells and coconuts. What's her name? Do you recall? I forget her name. She's got like the vagina, however you say it. The vagina training salon. I don't know. Look it up while I'm talking to Joshua. So just do a Google search for a woman who lifts kettlebells with her vagina. And
it
then,
is Kim.
Yes Kim Anami. And then delete your history after you do that on your browser. Anyways, though, so the idea, Joshua, is that I would give you a few different levels for biohacking your dick that I've found to be pretty effective. One I've already talked about. This would be level one. It's going to set you back a few $100, but it would be the use of photobiomodulation, right? Because I've done a lot of stuff. You could go read the January 2018 edition of Men's Health magazine, which I'll link to in the show notes. You could go, you know, snag that off of Amazon, because I talk about, you know, this 3-month journey that they sent me on for biohacking one's genitalia, and found out a whole bunch of stuff. But grab that magazine. It's one with Marky Mark on the cover. I didn't make the cover, unfortunately. Just this short little dick made the cover, appropriately enough. So anyways, though, I digress, and I hope Marky Mark isn't listening.
Wait, what?
The Juve photobiomodulation light. Okay, so that would be the first way. And of course, you could do nude sunbathing, but I've found that for size, for vascularity, for testosterone production, for sperm production, to really move the dial. So that would be one. Level two, and I also got some really, really good results with this. This would be this company Gainswave. They've got like 80 different clinics spread around the U.S. You walk in there, they smear numbing cream, or you smear numbing cream all over your crotch, and then they blast you with these high-intensity acoustic sound waves for about 20 minutes. And the idea is that for about the next month, you get really good erections and really good sexual performance and very long orgasms. And it's something that you would repeat like every 1 to 2 months in theory. I've done it maybe 5 times in my life, so I don't do it every 1 to 2 months, but you could totally do it, you know, as frequently as you wanted to. And guys with erectile dysfunction or Peyronie's disease or something like that, they'll do it more frequently. But ultimately, that would be kind of like level two. Now, level three would be something that I've found to move the dial for me more than anything else. Like for me, since I've done this, not only is it morning wood every single morning without fail, it increased the length of my orgasm from, I would say, about, you know, 8 to 10 seconds, right, to almost a minute. Literally, I just go and go and go, and it's amazing. And that would be the sexual optimization treatment that I did down at the Doceri Clinic in Park City, Utah, in which they actually used stem cells, and they mixed those with exosomes, and then they did platelet-rich plasma injections. So I got injected on the right and the left side of my penis in the area called the corpus cavernosum, and then up by the head of the penis. So 3 different injections with PRP, exosomes, and stem cells. And this, compared to anything else that I've done, you know, not only does it last for months or, you know, theoretically forever, based on the stem cell theory of aging, that, you know, as you age, you lose stem cells. And so you're essentially replacing your body's available sources of stem cells. But it's, in terms of the host of benefits I've gotten out of it, it's pretty staggering. And I was under sedation when I got this one, but it's either sedation or numbing cream when you get it. I even have a video, a safe for work video, because things are blurred out, et cetera, of the entire sexual and cosmetic enhancement surgery that I underwent, because they injected, I was Dr. Amy Killian in Park City. They injected my face, my hairline, my penis. And then they also, of course, did with stem cells, the entire musculoskeletal frame. I have a big podcast interview that I did with them that I'll release soon, in which I go into deep detail about what they did. But ultimately, that exosomes plus the PRP injection, that would be like level three. That was the biggest, best thing that I've ever done to enhance sexual performance. So that's the one that I would say.
And that's pretty expensive. Although I guess you did
the full meal deal. Yeah, the full meal deal is like $30,000 to do the full body stem cell makeover. To do just the sexual and cosmetic enhancement, I think is closer to maybe like somewhere between $4,000 and $8,000. So, yeah. So if Ian is still listening and has any money left, there you go, Ian. We just drained the last little bit of your change. Now, of course, there are things that I think would move the dial. A lot of these guys are looking for these biohacks, but there's little things that are missing. Like some of the little things I notice are missing over and over again. And guys I do consults with who, you know, we look at their micronutrient analysis or their blood work, or we look at their supplementation protocol, or we even look at their sexual practices and their sexual knowledge. There are a few things that I would definitely recommend that you also look into. So, for example, zinc. Zinc is a very common deficiency in men, and a deficiency of zinc can drastically affect libido and sexual performance. Now, for a while, I would recommend just zinc extract or, you know, a zinc capsule or something like that, or a good multivitamin with zinc, and frequent consumption of shellfish is really good for zinc. But, you know, recently I was on that Joe Rogan podcast and we brought up black ant extract, and a lot of people have been asking me about, you know, this black ant extract, which is really good pre-workout, pre-sex, pre-endurance. But it also has 10 times more zinc than oysters, which makes it a very, very good source for men who want to increase zinc to increase their sexual performance. So that would be one. Another one would be vitamin D. You always want to take it along with vitamin K so that it's bioavailable and doesn't increase your risk for arterial calcification. But vitamin D along with vitamin K is another one that works very well. So, and tends to be deficient in a lot of men who have sexual issues or who want to enhance their libido. Creatine is another. Creatine has a host of benefits for staving off muscle loss as you age. It's a known nootropic. I simply take 5 grams per day. Your actual absorption of creatine at any given point is only 1.5 to 2 grams. So you have to split that into about 2 to 3 kind of daily doses of creatine. I used to take all 5 grams at once. And then I learned actually from that guy I mentioned earlier, Tyler LeBaron, the guy who runs the Molecular Hydrogen Foundation, about the fact that you actually have to split your dosages up with creatine. And so I like Thorne, for example. They have a really good bioavailable form of creatine called CreaPure, but about 5 grams of creatine per day. Nitric oxide. A lot of guys, based on their lifestyle, are deficient in nitric oxide, right? Not enough sunlight, not enough good water, surrounded by Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, which affects nitric oxide production, a whole bunch of issues. And one of the best ways to increase your nitric oxide production is just getting out and getting frequent sunlight exposure. You know, these infrared devices that I've kind of, you know, I've kicked that horse to death on this podcast already, but like the Juve, the Vilite that I talked about, all of that can work too. But some kind of sunlight exposure frequently, regularly for guys. That's another really important one. The last thing I'd mention, and by the way, over in the show notes, I'll link to all the different articles that I've written on hacking or increasing your testosterone production. The last one would be probably one of the better books I've read on libido, and that would be the book The Multi-Orgasmic Man. The Multi-Orgasmic Man. And it has instructions for stimulating your prostate through your perineum, for lengthening the penis, for controlling the mind-body energy during sex, for reverse orgasms, probably in terms of like a good handbook for sex. You know, I'll definitely give that one to my boys when they're at an appropriate age for it, to teach them a little bit more about, you know, about controlling their rate of arousal and becoming pretty intimately aware with their anatomy. It would be The Multi-Orgasmic Man. That one's written by Montauk Chia. It's one of the better books on sex that I've read, especially for men. So, you know, cover some of those basics like zinc and vitamin D and creatine and nitric oxide and you know, a healthy relationship with your sexual self before you go spend a bunch of money on, you know, having somebody inject stem cells into your dick. But ultimately, those are some of the things that have worked pretty well for me.
Now, I want to remind Joshua that it's not just about him and his parts, too. Like, if you want to be really good in the sack, so to speak, you've got to focus on your partner, right? Just having, like, a whole bunch of testosterone and a bunch of, like, I don't know, huge erection and all that kind of stuff is fun for us. But if you really want to please your married one, you got to concentrate on them. So finding some books, some resources on that. And one of the things I stumbled across in my adventures was a thing called orgasmic meditation, or OM. Mm-hmm. And there's a company called One Taste that does this. You can go in by yourself, but you can also do it in couples, which I would encourage you to do if you're about to get married, where you can actually like learn stroking techniques and just the meditation aspects and the togetherness aspects of orgasm and that kind of stuff. I think that would go a long
way. Yeah, I've heard of One Taste before. They're really good. I mean, and ultimately teach your wife how to lift coconuts and kettlebells with her vagina, And that way she'll be able to keep up with you. And you'll be.
And then you can both join the sexual Olympics.
Hey, Ben, this is Thomas calling from the boonies of Louisiana. I was just wondering, as biohackers, why aren't we taking advantage of the higher absorption rate of suppositories? I'd much rather stick something up my butt than swallow dozens of pills every day. Maybe that's just me. Plus, there's the DIY factor. Thanks.
You know, he might be asking this question because I've talked before about what I call grass for your ass. Have you heard about that?
No.
Yeah. There's this company called Foria that sells medicated weed tampons for women. And I heard about this and I thought, well, if you can absorb cannabis through your vagina, you could probably absorb it through your butthole too. And so I bought these.
Well, there are heroin suppositories. Yeah, like people get super high off those.
Absolutely. So I bought this, this 10 milligram THC capsules. Now, when you eat cannabis, you know, the digestive enzymes will transform the THC into what's called 11-THC hydroxy, which is a pretty potent psychedelic metabolite. And when you eat an edible, only about 4 to 12% of the THC gets into your bloodstream. When you smoke, it's a little bit higher than that, about 10 to 35%. But they've actually done studies on THC via rectal ingestion, and they found it to be very close to what you'd get when you, say, smoke a joint. But what I've found via personal experimentation is that the high stays relatively localized to your crotch, meaning that pre-sex or any time you would like to direct the high to your crotch regions, THC delivered via any of these coconut oil capsules that can be used in a very similar way as a suppository tend to be pretty efficacious. So if there's anything that you learned from this podcast, is to shove weed up your ass. Joking aside, suppositories...
Don't do that.
Yeah, suppositories can be a pretty effective delivery and less uncomfortable than you'd think if you haven't used them before. So rectal suppositories, those would, of course, go in your rectum. They tend to have like this bullet-shaped tip, or you could use a capsule, for example, like a THC capsule is mixed in coconut oil. And they'll use those to treat everything from, you know, allergies to anxiety to asthma. And there's a lot of drugs that you would not believe come as suppositories. For example, Valium, you know, the benzodiazepine that I don't necessarily recommend, because although it calms brain activity and brings you into a state of sleep, you don't actually enter deep sleep. However, that medication is available as a highly efficacious rectal suppository. Muse, which is used for erectile dysfunction. You know, you've heard of Viagra, you've heard of Cialis, some of these other treatments that we just talked about. But Muse is basically a suppository that is not a rectal suppository. Do you know where you insert the applicator for Muse?
Your nose?
Your urethra. Urethra.
Ah, oh, that makes
you actually
sense.
Put it into your pee hole. It has a little button at the top to release a pellet, and you get an erection in about 5 to 10 minutes. It's called Muse.
I was thinking of the wrong protrusion on the body.
Yeah, Muse. Ask your doctor. Ask your doctor, folks. You know, for example, that might be one for Joshua to ask his doctor about, a urethral suppository, which just sounds incredibly uncomfortable. I have yet to actually do any form of drug delivery through my urethra, should anyone be wondering. There's another one called Phenergen that's found in cold or allergy medications. They sell that as a rectal suppository. Oxymorphone or morphine. Taken orally, morphine can upset the stomach, and so a lot of times doctors will give it to patients as a rectal suppository. And then, of course, antibiotics like erythromycin or erythromycin. They'll give that as a suppository as well. So there's a lot of drugs that are already delivered as suppositories due to the fact that the rectum can be an incredibly blood vessel rich and a very efficacious way to get absorption of a whole host of different, you know, nutrients and vitamins and minerals. And there's a company called Dr. Vitamin Solutions. I think it's drvitaminsolutions.com. They actually sell a whole host of suppositories. They sell glutathione. They sell DMSA chelation. They sell multivitamins, a ton of stuff that you can order as a vitamin suppository. And if you don't like to swallow pills, but for some reason are far more comfortable just sticking them up your butt, that might be a website for you to go surf. Now, probably the suppository that I actually own and use quite a bit, because I'm into coffee enemas for glutathione production and bile production and enhanced peristalsis in the GI tract, and you know, the dump of antioxidants that it gives you, pun intended, because you do have a pretty big dump after, would be Glytamins, G-L-Y-T-A-M-I-N-S, Glytamins. And this is like a coffee enema in a suppository form. So if you want to continue that health practice, if it's something that you do, you can use these Glytamins when you're, for example, traveling. And you just stick them up your butt when you like wake up in the morning or after you've had a bowel movement is even better, because then you can just keep it in and it'll continue to work its magic much of the day. It's called a Glytamin. So I'll link to that one in the show notes. But ultimately, Thomas, to answer your question, you ask, as biohackers, why aren't we taking advantage of the higher absorption rate of suppositories? Well, I am.
We are.
I don't know why others aren't. Maybe they're just clinched and constipated and they need to open themselves up to the wonderful world of rectal suppositories, vaginal suppositories, and of course, our favorite, urethral suppositories. Now, that might seem like a lot to swallow, or I suppose in this case, a lot to put up your butt.
Not to swallow. Yeah.
But if you're a health coach, or you're a personal trainer, or you're a nutritionist, or you're a doctor, or a chiropractic physician, or anyone else who kind of fits that bill of a health professional, I've got a lot more for you to swallow when it comes to feeding through the fire hose of information that I put out, because we just launched Keon University. Keon U, it's called. And what we've done is we've taken over 2 decades of the information that I've put out on this podcast, the information I've written about in this book, and we have developed it into a curriculum, into an actual certification that you can get, the Keon U certification, in which you go through monthly webinars with me, you have tests, you have a whole curriculum that is made available to you. We begin to send you clients your way through Keon. You get the certification that you can display on your website. We just launched that coaching program. And although this podcast is getting a little long in the tooth, and speak of the devil, Brock and I, right after we record this podcast, are off to do a webinar for all of the people who
in
are
11
kind of,
minutes.
Kind of looking at the grad, becoming part of the graduating class, the first graduating class of Keon U. Just go to getkion.com/coach. That's getkion.com/coach. And what you'll find there is an application where you can apply. This is only for people who are currently fitness professionals and hold some kind of a certification, or people who are an MD or an ND or a chiro or a physical therapist. You need to have a somewhat existing base foundation of knowledge to get in. But if you feel like it's for you and you want to apply and you want to become recognized as one of the top fitness and wellness experts on the face of the planet, then check out Keon U over at getkion.com/coach. And that all being said, first, everything that we talk about is going to be over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/386. And second, shall we give something away, Brock?
Yes, let's do it, but quickly, because we got to go.
All right. So if you leave this podcast a review and you hear your review read on the show, then we will send you a handy dandy Ben Greenfield Fitness gear pack with a wonderful tech t-shirt that makes you look amazing, makes your muscles pop. You don't even need to work out when you wear this t-shirt. A BPA-free water bottle that's completely guilt-free when you drink your $7,000 molecular rich hydrogenated water. And finally, a beanie, or as Brock would call it, a toque. And if we read your review on the show, all you need to do is email gear@bengreenfieldfitness.com. That's gear@bengreenfieldfitness.com with your t-shirt size, and we'll send your gear right off to you. And today's review is read by Me Think Orange. He gives us 5 stars. He titles his review, "Yep, Minds Will Be Blown." Brock, you want to take this one away?
Yes, and since you're incapable of speeding up, I'm going to go as fast as I can. I used to hate podcasts, then I realized I needed to find the right one. Ben has made his layout cohesive, even with some of the added shenanigans. This podcast is very informative and never boring. I enjoy Ben's thoughts and opinions, and also those of the ragtag group of people that he interviews and picks their brains. Even though a lot of the topics and information are above my thought process and pay grade, they still give me something to aim for, not to mention they tickle my brain. Keep it rocking? I think you wanted to say keep it rocking. Thumbs up, devil's horns. Devil's horn. Devil horn.
A lot of emojis. Well, we appreciate the review, Me Think Orange. And I
read it emotionlessly.
You did. You read that like a robot. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You really made leaving reviews exciting for people, Brock. Thank you for doing that. Yeah. But
if you want your review read by me in a very boring voice, submit now.
I'm going to retitle this episode, The Brain Tickler. That would be a good title for a podcast episode, The Brain Tickling Podcast. So, yeah, check it out. Or actually, in this case, for this particular episode, we should probably call it The Penis Tickling Episode.
Probably.
So, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to The Penis Tickling Podcast. And all the show notes will be over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/386. Plenty there because of all these biohacks we talked about. Like I mentioned, Brock and I are off to teach a Key on You webinar in just a few minutes. So we're going to have to rumble. But thanks for listening in. Leave your comments, your thoughts, your feedback over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/386. And have an amazing week.
You've been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to bengreenfieldfitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.